two stories of the fruitful work of Czech scientists on the international scale in this month's Science Journal, both touching on key modern issues of food production and climate change. Firstly, we speak with the Center for Biotechnical and Agricultural Research at Palatsky University in Olomouc, where a team of scientists has been granted a U.S. patent for their newly discovered compound. Inside is a derivative plant growth hormone that has proven able to increase crop yields and is currently being tested on various crops by a multinational agrochemical corporation. For the details of that, we spoke to one of the authors of the research, Lukáš Spíchal.
Inside, the name of the compound is a shortening of inhibitor of cytokine degradation. Cytokines are very important plant hormones that are controlling a lot of important things during the development of plant, including development of reproductive organs. So the level of cytokine is very important for these things. When we have a compound that is able to block enzyme that is degrading such hormones, these cytokines, we can keep the level of these cytokines at a higher level. This helps to increase the yield.
At first sight, it sounds relatively easy. I suppose it's not. Why did it take this long to discover it?
Actually, the whole story started around 2004 when we studied the enzyme that is regulating the cytokine level in plants, and we were developing the inhibitors of this enzyme. 1 year after, in 2005, there was publication by a Japanese group published in Science showing that mutation in gene coding this enzyme is very important for increase of yield in rice variety, in one of the rice varieties. So this was a quite nice leading thing for us, that we saw that easily when this enzyme is not working in plant, then the organs, the reproductive organs are developing that way, that that they are increasing the yield. Of course, there are a lot of things behind, and not all are understood well now. However, for us it was, as I said, a leading thing to follow, and we simply applied the compound to the model plant, Arabidopsis, that is used in biology as a model plant, and we saw that it really works. So it, using the chemical way, we somehow get the same result as the Japanese group did with their genetic approach. So, yeah, seems to be quite easy. When you know the mechanism, then, okay, that's easy, yeah.
You mentioned the model plant. How many various plants have been tested, and is this something that can work for all kinds of crops or only specific crops?
We started with model plant Arabidopsis, as I mentioned. This is a model plant for studies in biology for known reasons. This Arabidopsis is very close relative to Brassica, to the rapeseed, oil rapeseed. So when we saw that it works with Arabidopsis, then we when we skipped into the oil rapeseed, and it worked as well. So it was very nice. Of course, as you mentioned, it would be interesting if it works also with other crop species. So we applied also on cereals, on the winter wheat, also spring barley, and also maize. It works. However, we needed to find the application window, when to apply and how much to apply to really see the effect. So now it seems that we have some kind of technology. How many times apply, and actually it is only once, and very importantly, we know when to apply, in which phenological phase of development of the crop, and we know how much to increase the yield of wheat, barley. In case of maize, it works for increasement of biomass, not the grain yield.
Next up on our program is trioxygen, better known as ozone, and particularly helpful in keeping life on Earth from being incinerated by ultraviolet radiation. It has long been known that various chemical reactions in the atmosphere interrupt the creation of ozone and thus make a kind of hole in the layer that is damaging to the climate. Thanks to Czech researchers from the J. Hejrovský Institute of Physical Chemistry, we now also know that this is happening at a faster rate than previously expected. The team's article on the subject was recently one of the most widely read in the prestigious Journal of Chemical Physics, and one of its authors, Michal Farník, told us more about it.
On the popular level, people think freons are responsible for ozone depletion, and that's essentially true, but freons are not very reactive species, just the opposite. They are very stable, and they have a lifetime in the atmosphere of, say, 50 to 100 years. And in this time, they can wander all the way up to the stratosphere. And there, a number of reactions can happen, which at the end releases radical atoms, chlorine atoms or bromine atoms, which then react with ozone in a cycle, in a reaction where it destroys ozone molecules. And at the end, the chlorine atom, chlorine radical, is again available for the next reaction and can destroy further and further ozone molecules until it reacts with something else and disappears. And now, in the scheme where many reactions are involved, which lead to the production of chlorine radicals, some of the reactions are not the reaction in the gas phase between molecules in the gas in the stratosphere, but there are reactions which proceed on the surface of ice particles in the so-called polar stratospheric clouds.
And so you found that this is causing ozone depletion at an even faster rate than was previously thought?
Well, actually, this scheme has been found out already in the 80s, and the Nobel Prize was awarded for that. So this is not at all our discovery. What we found out is we investigate these small ice particles, small what we call water clusters, which is a couple hundred water molecules bound together, and we investigated how the other molecules can see them, how the other molecules interact with these particles. And what we have found out is that the other molecules can be attracted to these particles from much further distance than what has been expected or what has been used in models. So what we actually see in our experiment is that the ice particles are generated much faster than what is expected in the models.
That's all the science news from the last month. Tune in again in October to see what happens next in the world of Czech science.